Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, November 13th, 2024 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Well, it's Microsoft Patch Tuesday. We got patches for 83 vulnerabilities. Three of them are classified as critical, two have been exploited already, and two have also been disclosed prior to this Tuesday. So let's highlight some of the vulnerabilities that Renato, who wrote up our diary today, found notable. First of all, yet another NTLM hash disclosure spoofing vulnerability. This one is exploited via Outlook. It's yet another one of these MSHTML vulnerabilities. So that's an Explorer component that still hangs around in modern versions of Windows. What's also interesting here is the victim does not have to actually open the attachment. It's sufficient to select it, so just single click it, or to inspect it by right clicking it. That'll already trigger the vulnerability here. You also got a privilege escalation vulnerability in Windows Task Scheduler. Haven't seen them in a while, but the Task Scheduler, of course, runs code from various users. And there's always a little risk here of some loss of control over what user the code is actually running at. We also got yet another one. I think we had the big one like last year, a privilege escalation vulnerability for the Active Directory certificate services. So these were the disclosed or already exploited vulnerabilities. Among the critical vulnerabilities, we then have a Windows Kerberos remote code execution vulnerability. That sounds quite interesting. No exploit available yet. Luckily, no details disclosed at this point. But certainly in an authentication system like Kerberos, to have a remote code execution vulnerability could get quite interesting here for attackers. And a second privilege escalation vulnerability here, and this one is in the Windows VM switch. VM switch part of Hyper-V, so this really only affects you if you have Hyper-V guests running and are worried about the Hyper-V escape. So overall, I think this is sort of a more average patch Tuesday. This Kerberos vulnerability looks interesting. We'll see if anything evolves here. Microsoft rates exploitation for this vulnerability as less likely. And CISA, together with other government organizations, did publish its 2023 list of routinely exploited vulnerabilities. They're singling out 15 vulnerabilities here. Well, if you listen to this podcast, if you read our diaries, you're probably familiar with them. Citrix, Cisco, Fortinet, MoveIT, and Progress, Atlassian. Those are like the big ones here, and a number of other vulnerabilities like this that we keep talking about, like, for example, Soho's Manage Engine. What is kind of missing from this list, which kind of surprised me a little bit, is all these Office vulnerabilities and such that we certainly still see exploited, but I guess less than before. I always thought this was a little bit of bias of our sensor network, like our honeypots and such mostly look at these sort of server style exploit. We don't really have good vulnerability into the client side exploits, but given CISA's list here, I guess that's really what's happening out there. And yes, the big problem are these expensive commercial enterprise systems that keep coming up with hard-coded credentials, with OS command injection, SQL injection, and similar well-known vulnerabilities. There's also, just as an honorable mention here, the Log4j vulnerability still listed, something that we certainly still see a lot of scans for. And Apple security company Yamf did come out with a blog post looking at this, some recent Mac malware. What is sort of new about this malware is that it's written in Flutter. Flutter is a framework that was developed by Google, and the goal of Flutter is to allow you to write applications for multiple operating systems. There are, of course, similar solutions, or at least solutions with a similar goal out there. The problem is that once you develop an application in Flutter and then compile it, it turns out to be, well, essentially already obfuscated because the layout of the application is somewhat unusual, and that apparently does help this malware to then evade antivirus or other endpoint protection systems. This is less a problem with Flutter. Flutter is just a tool being used here to create applications. There are plenty other tools that could be used to create similarly obfuscated applications. The issue here is more with the limitations of some of the simplistic endpoint protection packages. Well, that's it for today. So thanks for listening. Remember, there will be no podcast on Thursday, Friday due to my travel schedule. So talk to you again on Monday. Bye.